Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Friday, the 19th day in April of 2024. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to make it through, hopefully, the end of your work week. We're going to start in Ukraine. Now, in Ukraine, there is an interesting case of a malware known as OFL router or offline router. And this is a malware that was uncovered by researchers that has been active since at least 2015, which seems absurd in a world of cybersecurity and detection. Even more intriguing, the malware seems to have limited itself to specifically Ukraine, except in a couple minor instances. And what's interesting here is that the reason the malware is called OFL router is because it doesn't actually propagate via email or steal details from email the way most modern malware does. It relies on users manually moving infected files or spreading via USB devices. What happens is that the malware infects documents with a VBA macro, and when users spread those documents to cloud storage, for example, or move them to other machines, the malware goes with that document. Now, it's believed that this was not detected because many organizations starting last year had VBA macros disabled by default per Microsoft, who noted that abuse of VBA macros was enabling cybercrime. But Ukraine, like many countries, may not be using the most up-to-date versions of Microsoft or their policies, meaning that they're at higher risk of this kind of attack, which cybersecurity experts continue to see used around the world. And so we don't know who is behind OFL router. What we do know is that this malware puts confidential data at risk to whoever is behind it, and they've been spying on people in Ukraine for a very long time. Some folks are quick to point the finger at Russia, but until we get concrete details, all we can say is that some Ukrainian documents had their confidentiality exposed. We're going to move from the mystery of OFL router to another mystery that was solved. Europol announced on Thursday that law enforcement efforts, including organizations from 19 countries, helped shut down a phishing as a service platform, or severely disrupt it in any case. Now, what's interesting here is that phishing as a service is a technique by which an organization can conduct vast amounts of phishing for people who don't have phishing expertise. And in this case, LabHosts, which is the organization in question, had over 10,000 users or customers, meaning that just this one organization was enabling 10,000 people to conduct phishing operations against a variety of companies and or you personally. So, LabHost was severely disrupted by Europol. 37 suspects were arrested. So, for context, cybercrime is a very rich business, and it involves many people with expertise who structure themselves much like an organization conducting these schemes in a 9-to-5 full-time job type capacity. So again, cybercrime, very lucrative and operated very much like a business. In this case, the LabHost business has been severely disrupted. Also on Thursday, a man responsible for one of the most intriguing cyber thefts was found guilty in a unanimous verdict in the United States. Avraham Eisenberg, who in October of 2022 conducted what is known as a flash loan attack, was able to steal up to $110 million from Mango Markets, a cryptocurrency firm. Essentially, he was able to buy large amounts of cryptocurrency, which inflate the price because there's a demand and supply issue, and then quickly, before necessary, selling and profiting greatly and then repaying the original loan amount, reaping all of the profits. Some people will say that this is just the way that stock trading works. However, because it takes advantage of the processing time between transactions, this is actually considered market manipulations, and the U.S. attorney responsible for the case said that it was the first ever cryptocurrency market manipulation case. So if you're into cryptocurrency, just know that manipulating the price of cryptocurrency to make money is technically a crime, and as in the case of Avraham, you could spend up to 30 years in prison. Thursday was just a busy day because yet another organization made an announcement on Thursday. This one, Frontier Communications, who operates a telecommunications organization out of Texas. And they said that they were the victim of a cybercrime group who gained access to potentially PII, or personal identifiable information. And we know this because the company filed it with the SEC, which is a core requirement in the United States for large publicly traded companies to file with the SEC when there is a significant or material cybercrime. And as of the filing, Frontier believes that they have contained all of this incident, restored core information technology, and will soon be back to operating as normal. And if you're asking, so what? Well, the so what is that Texas-based telecommunications company Frontier Communications, as the name implies, provides telecommunications like internet service for thousands of people in Texas, meaning that this cybercrime group could have made it so that you didn't or don't have internet access. And in today's remote work-from-home world, it means maybe you couldn't work, maybe you missed meetings, maybe you had to travel to an actual office. Things that directly impact your normal day-to-day life likely could have been impacted by a cybercrime group targeting data, in this case personally identifiable information, that is used for all sorts of crimes like follow-on phishing, committing fraud, things that would financially impact you. And so we see cybercrime having a direct impact on people, and telecommunications company like Frontier, in this case out of Texas, reporting it and trying to remediate it to help keep you online. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding day. It's going to be a great weekend, so stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy, and we'll see you on Monday. Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to a Florida officer of the Marine and Environmental Lands Unit. Jill Constant is getting a sincere tip of the cap for saving a manatee. While on a boat in the Everglades, she realized that there was a manatee trying to beach itself because it could not keep its own head above the water to breathe. The manatee was likely suffering from toxic red tide exposure, and Jill, without even consideration of her own safety, stripped off her gear and jumped into the water, holding up the head of the ginormous aquatic mammal for over 2 hours until units could arrive to help save the manatee. So to you, Jill, a sincere tip of the cap for your dedication to wildlife, and please keep on environmentaling.